we are so happy to be here. You all look so wonderful. We have some people that have been here since the early days when we were here, and it's just wonderful connecting with them, and it's great. And we just want to thank you for all your support to us. Thank you very much.
And I also say good morning to all of you. Praise God. It's so good to be back and to be here. When we land in the USA, we can't wait to walk in those doors, because this is home. This is home for us. And when we come, we get so refreshed. Oh, gosh, a fill-up before we go back. So we thank you. We thank you for all your prayers and encouragement and just the way you welcome us. Thank you so much. I can remember when we first got married, and we had been in this church. Actually, Jimmy brought me here, and I wasn't too sure. I was like, what is this church you're taking me to? He said, oh, you're going to love it. And he brought me here, and he was absolutely right. I loved it, and I never wanted to leave here. The people would give me these huge hugs, which I wasn't used to. I wasn't used to hugs. We didn't do a lot of that in my family. And there was one couple, Sally Walsh, and I forget his name, but they always found me. I would try to hide because I went, oh, here comes those people who hug all the time. And boy, I would see them and I would kind of turn around and walk the opposite way. They caught up with me and gave me that big old hug. And today we are giving lots of hugs in Hong Kong. Lots of hugs. People over there really need hugs.
Yeah.
We just ask God to anoint our arms and just hug them good.
Can we show them what it's like for a typical person in Hong Kong who grew up with no hugs? This is let's say a college student returning home from university, haven't seen their parents for maybe a year. When they get off the plane, Linda's the parent, I'll be the student. When they see each other, they run up, they're really excited, and it's... they go about their way. So we have the ministry of hugs. Yeah, there's one girl I had been ministering to, and we just hugged her a lot. And then she was about ready to go back to university, and she said, you know, can you come to the airport and be with my family and I and have lunch with us before I get on the airplane? I said, sure. Well, when I got there, she ran up to me and gave me a big hug. Her parents were shocked to see that. So afterwards, she was about ready to go into customs, and right before she left, her dad looked at her and hugged her. And she didn't know what to do. She was in shock, and he was in shock. And she said, Dad, why did you do that? But now they're hugging. The family's hugging. Go ahead. Sorry.
So when we were first here and we got married, and the wife takes on the husband's surname or last name, and but here at Trinity, I was called Sister Jimmy. I didn't mind. Then when they got used to me, I became Linda again, but Sister Jimmy. It was a wonderful thing to leave from this church and go to the mission field. We were prayed over and encouraged in many ways. And being there in Hong Kong, that is also our second home. We've been there over 30 plus years. And those years have just sped by. We committed to stay there for 2 years, and 2 years came and left, and we saw so much of what God was doing, and he did such a wonderful work in our hearts and lives. We thought, we can't stop this now. We're going to stay on, and it's been over 30 years. We've raised our children there. Our youngest son was born there. We say he's made in China. He doesn't mind us saying. Hong Kong was a British colony, so it's a pretty peaceful place. And the people go about doing what they need to do. They work very, very hard there. Of course, gold is the god of Hong Kong, and so they work 24 hours, some of them. It's amazing. But we love working there and serving God there. And right now, the peace has been disrupted. Perhaps you've heard in the news about Hong Kong having the pro-democracy protest. The young people are leading out on that, and it's for universal suffrage. They want to be able to keep full democracy. They don't want to come under the communist system. And there's two young men who are leading out. They're 17 and 18 years old. One is named Joshua Wong, and I liken him to David standing up to the giant. The giant, David and Goliath. The giant is China. He's standing up, he and another guy, and all the young people in those streets.
Tell them how many people in Hong Kong.
Oh, there's between 7 and 8 million people on that one island. So wherever you go, there's masses of people.
Small island,
and then huge China. And when the people come out for protests, you can barely walk through there. But we did a prayer walk.
China has over a million people. Mm. So you see the difference. That's the giant.
Yes.
Sorry. Go ahead.
But... We don't want to see those young people hurt.
That's right.
We don't want to see a repeat of Tiananmen Square.
Yes.
Where the young people were just crushed. And so just while we're here, the young people are having talks with the government of Hong Kong. And so everyone is holding their breath because they don't know how those talks are going to turn out. But we heard that China had the army tanks in the tunnels, just on hold. And so we appreciate your prayers for Hong Kong and that we will have wisdom and discernment how to minister to many of the people are shook up. They've never experienced this in Hong Kong. It's a real change. And I want to say to you young people that you really can make a difference. You don't have to wait till you have this or do this or till you're a certain age. You can make a difference right now.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
This generation, we need you to step up to the base. We really do. And you have a very significant part in bringing Jesus back. You really do, and we're proud of you. So we want to just say, keep on seeking God. Keep on drawing closer to him, because he has a call on each one of your lives.
Amen.
Amen. So basically, I don't know how much time he's giving me, but we just praise God to be able to be in Hong Kong. This protest basically has shut down Hong Kong, and it is one of the biggest financial centers in the world. When we first came there, every seventh person is a millionaire plus. It's a very well-off country, and there are more millionaires per capita in Hong Kong than anywhere else in the world, and we as people who live by faith have been an example that silver and gold is not what we trust in, but we trust in the living God. And they know that.
Amen. Amen.
So we're amazed. Hong Kong had so much excess money that they gave every person over 18 years old $600. Now, that may not seem like a lot, But when you're dealing with close to 8 million people receive $600, that's a lot of excess money. And some people didn't even want it because they're already so comfortable. They thought, we don't need it. It's okay. So it's when we received it, we said, thank you, Lord.
It comes from him.
God provides in many ways. So we praise God. And so remember Hong Kong. Remember us in Hong Kong. We know you do pray for us. And it's a very crucial time. They've started this protest 2 years before the actual change will happen. And China says, you have up to 50 years before we change. But everyone sees very settled changes. And because these young people have pretty much shut down Hong Kong, even in our area, the delivery trucks couldn't bring in food. So the market, the food supply went way down. And a little fear tried to come in my heart. Oh, gosh, what's happening here in Hong Kong, you know? But then God showed me, no matter what, I am there for you. Mm-hmm. And there's a scripture I want to just finish with. Because we survived the SARS epidemic there. And we survived when 1997 came and Hong Kong went back from the British to the Chinese. We survived that. And everybody booked up and left. And there's been many other things that have happened. And now this protest. But God, each time we pray, well, does this mean, God, that we come back to the U.S. and live again? And God says, if you want, but if you stay, I will bless you. So each time these things have happened, we have stayed. And I know that all over the world, things are happening. Things seem to be closing in on us. The Ebola situation, the ISIS. So many things are happening all over the world. So it's not for us, it's not just Hong Kong. But we know how easily supplies could be perish. So many things can happen. But God said, remind us that in Romans 8:31 through 32, it says, if God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen. 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 Amen.
And verse 35, we'll jump to 35, says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Amen? Amen.
Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, honey. Okay, what did she leave me with here? Thank you, sweetheart. I am the most blessed man in the world by having Linda as my soulmate. As I look back and see how God has brought us together, I know he has brought us together. I did not find her on the internet. She was sent by the Holy Spirit. And the way it happened, maybe I might have a little time to tell you about that, but it's very important to know if God has sent someone into your life. You know, I don't know if I would have been able to meet anyone else that could have been my helpmate. There's just, I can't even perceive of that. And she has a heart for missions. We didn't know anything about missions, and God just put it in our hearts together. It's amazing to me what God has done. But he knows what he's doing. Amen? I just want to thank you for your gracious giving. We appreciate it so much. Your love has carried us. I've had time to tell you in so many different situations that we were in on the mission field. We get a check every month from Trinity Life. And that's been happening for over 30 years without missing. Sometimes there may be a month lapse, but it's not Trinity's fault. It's the post office's fault. And then it catches up later and we have double. That's nice when we have double. But I want to thank you. for your love, for your graciousness. I thank you so much. And I'm just going to read this scripture out of 2 Corinthians. It says in chapter 9, verse 6 says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Each one, you know what? I did it again. I left my eyes over there. There they are. I can't keep my eyes. Thank you. Okay, there you go. Wow, it looks so much bigger. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart. Okay? Not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Amen? And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, not in some things, well, maybe God is not interested in this area. It says all sufficiency in everything. Amen? You may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Oh, he wants to bless us. That's his heart desire, is to bless us. You know, he's so humble, Father God is. And he just says, not as a law, but as very minimum, if you want to give 10% of my money, you can give me 10% of your money. I think it should be the other way around. We should be giving God all the money. Lord, is this enough for me to live on? I mean, I've been challenged with that, and I've been living on that sometimes. I haven't got there completely yet, but it's been a real blessing to see. God is so faithful. I admire the saints who take the 10% and live off of it and give 90% to God. But anyways, he says, when you give out of love. It doesn't do you any good to give, and you hurt when you give. Oh, that hurts. It's not going to come back to you. He blesses a loving heart, a cheerful heart. That's what he wants in your lives. Amen? So what? So he can bless you, but not bless you just to bless you, but so you can do greater works, the more works, fruit in your life. My heart is full of God's love. I love him. And my heart is getting bigger. I said, Lord, make my heart bigger. I want more of your love. You know, it's been times when in Mongolia, when I just had this thought, Lord, if I just had some money, I would be a blessing to the Mongolian people. You know, we go there almost twice a year. The wintertime can be minus 50 sometimes Celsius. It's cold. It's really cold. It doesn't matter. The people see us there and they say, you must really love us to come here. But we just want to bless the people. It's freezing cold, and I don't have any money for clothing to give some of the street children. And I want some money, Father, to be able to, if I had some money, I can bless people who don't have legs and arms and buy prosthetics for them so they can walk and enjoy life, increase their standard of living. If I had some money, I can help those little children that live under the sewage with all the people who take advantage of them and so forth. I can get them out of there and get them into little garrets, which are little tents. I kept saying this to the Father like I'm begging. He says, Jimmy, it's like he's grabbing my shoulder and says, Jimmy, where do you think those thoughts came from? Do you think you originated those thoughts? No. You never used to think this way. That's my heart. I'm speaking to you. Ask me and you shall receive. Keep your hands open Don't close them. Keep them open. Otherwise, just keep giving, and I'll keep pouring the blessings through you. And you, as Trinity, has been part of that. There have been individuals have sent huge amounts of money at times and has blessed many people in Mongolia. One city, the people don't know me in this city. I found out about a person who needed some prosthetic legs, and I raised some money, and a few people of Trinity sent some finances, and I took it there, and we got this girl some prosthetics. Well, I didn't know this one little deed was going to turn into something big. She lived in a Cossack village in Mongolia. And because of the deed, many people found out that there was a Christian missionary that blessed this person. And many of them were so amazed that many of them gave their hearts to Jesus. The whole village was almost committed to Christ. I haven't even gone there yet. I'm hoping someday I'll be able to go there. Yes. And that was just from giving. That was just from giving. And I wasn't even there. So that's a good thing. I'm kind of glad they don't know who I am, in a sense. But anyways, this giving is the kind of giving that God wants to bless you with and for you to be fruitful. He doesn't want to give to you just to consume to yourself. He wants you to be givers. And in this world today, you will shine like bright stars in the midst of all this darkness. Like a beam of light in the midst of the darkness is what God is looking for. People are trying to hoard things. Why? Because you're hearing on TV, you must stock up your shelves. You must find some property and hide money over here, over there. You must get your money and turn it into gold or whatever. You must prepare for the worst. Please, don't give in to it. God did not give us the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a strong mind. Amen? And I think that's his word for us. We are not to follow this world. Jesus delivered us from this world. He has. Our kingdom is different. Our daddy in heaven is powerful and protective. He's already, Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Amen. It is finished. Yeah. So all the resources that we need is an abundance for us to receive and to walk in peace, to walk in his peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Yeah. He's peace. Now, in these last days, what he wants to do, this is what he wants to do. He wants to anoint you. He wants to pour out his love in an unprecedented way in your life in ways you've never, ever dreamed of. He wants the river to flow. Now, I like that this church is an international church. There's all sorts of people. There's Jamaicans. There are Chinese. There are Africans, there are Spanish, Filipinos, and there's a lot of others that I'm not even going to mention right now, but it is just amazing. God prophesied this years ago, and it's going to grow and get bigger and bigger. God's doing something here. Can you feel it? Yes. He is doing something, and he has the right staff for it, which is blessing. He has the right people. And I just love watching people serve each other in this church. I love it. They're not serving grudgingly. They're serving with love. I watched those who served us meals the other day. I think they're gone now. They're over there. Yeah, there you go. Oh, they just served their hearts out for us. You know, it's just a blessing to see what is happening here. My wife said about the hugs in those days, the love is growing. It's getting deeper. You're being more and more established and raised up in his love. And his love is what's going to speak. People's lives are going to get worse. They're going to find out that the Holy Spirit of the spirit of the world is not helping them. Their Holy Spirit is Prozac. It's not helping. It's not working. But the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, works. He brings healing. He brings direction. He brings salvation. He brings wholeness. It works. He works. And you are the most important people in this land. You're more important than the politics that's here. You're more important than anyone. You carry Christ Jesus bodily inside of you. The Bible tells us that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit in Christ. So your future and your life now is secure. Now, what does he want to do now? Not only does he want to fill you with his love, he wants you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so he can release more of his gifts in you. Okay? Not just so you can speak in tongues and be all fancy and think I can speak in tongues and that it's just to let people know that I'm religious. No. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit has a purpose for your spirit to connect with him, knowing the mind of Christ. Okay? So you can move in the power of Jesus and so that you can release his gifts in through you to other people to serve the body and to serve others. That's what he wants to do. Thirdly, and I think very important, this is very important, and I won't have time to go through the whole thing today, but I want to touch on it just a little bit. It's very essential that every one of you learn to hear the voice of God. This is your inheritance. Adam and Eve in the garden, they didn't have all the opposition that we have now when they were in the garden. They didn't have TV. They didn't have CDs. God just was able to talk with them anytime he wanted to without distractions. And he was always telling them how much he loves them. They didn't have stress. They didn't know what stress was. They didn't have worry, fears. They didn't have lack. But one thing they had fellowship with the Father. And that's why he wants to speak to you. He wants to have fellowship with you. There are great benefits of having the voice of God in your life. To hear him daily, momently, he wants to speak. There is no room anymore for unworthiness because you need to read the scripture that says your spirit, it says in 2 Corinthians 15, 5:15, it says that if you are in Christ Jesus, you are a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. The old things have passed, not passing, but the old things have passed away. Amen? Jesus nailed our sins to the cross. He nailed it. The new things is I have a new creation. I have a new spirit in me. And that new spirit does not sin. My flesh, I have a problem with my flesh, but I'm learning to, and someone talked about that last night, renewing my mind, as the Bible says, so my mind can catch up with my spirit. Because my spirit has been approved of by the Father. Why? Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is the one that has already done all the works. He's done all the works. And he's the only one that God has approved of. So stop trying. Stop trying to work to gain his approval and his love. Because it's already been done. Jesus said, it is finished. It's finished. It's over. And he sat on high on the right hand of the Father. That's what he did. And that means it's finished. All the work has been done. Now all we have to do as those that he has multiplied, he's brought many brothers. He's multiplied himself when you asked him to be your Lord. Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, gosh, how must a man be born again? How can that happen? And what did Jesus tell him? You must be born of water and spirit. You must have a natural birth, but you also must have a spiritual birth. You must be born again. This is not a club that you join. This is not something that you're born into in the natural, and because your families are Christians, you're a Christian. No. I know lots of people like that. They think they're Christians because my family were Christians. They're not Christians by far. But the new birth in Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us that he created our spirit, our born-again spirit. It's been created by Jesus in Ephesians 5. It's been created in purity and in holiness. Amen? So your spirit is not only approved of, but it's created in purity. It's created in holiness. It's created in righteousness. You are as righteous as Jesus, although he is your righteousness. When God sees you, he says, perfect. Now, those that try to be perfectionists, you might as well forget it. Jesus is the only one that's perfect. You try to be a perfectionist imperfected world, that doesn't work. And there's lots of issues with that. You, when God looks at you, he smiles. He's not mad at you. I have to say that again because I feel like there's people in here, they think God is angry with you because you didn't kiss your wife today. You didn't read your Bible this week. You didn't even pay your tithe this week. You know, maybe you think he's mad at you because maybe you did give into your flesh a little bit. You ate a little bit too much this week. Or you did some other things, maybe gross things. I don't know. You gave into your flesh. But he's not mad at you because when he sees you, he sees, this is my daughter who I'm well pleased. This is my son who I'm well pleased. That's how he sees you. I'm not saying that you should sin and it's okay because sin's not okay. What happens is, if you sin, you need another revelation or more revelation of the love of the Father. That's what you need. More love, more love, more love. You need love. You need more love. That's what you need. Lord, I messed up again. Dad, I'm sorry. Forgive me for that. But I just need more of you. It's his love that the Bible says that compels you, constrains you from sin. His love does. It's all about his love. He just loves you so much. But anyways, it's really understanding that you can go to him and hear his voice because you are righteous. Jesus Christ is your righteousness. When God looks at you, he sees righteousness because Christ is his righteousness, approved of, so you're approved of. So he looks at you, my sister, and he says, approved. Amen? But he doesn't take it back and say, unapproved. Because she messes up, maybe she would have said something to her neighbor that wasn't very nice. He doesn't just say, okay, now I'm going to take my approval back. No. When I go into the Hong Kong government, I have an ID card. It has a seal on there. The seal of the government, the Hong Kong government, says I can come in and go out anytime I want to, and I am approved by the Hong Kong government. And that's why Linda said we received a gracious gift from them, because I'm approved. Praise God. I'm approved. You are approved of, and God never takes it back from you. He never plays seesaw with you. He's not like that. It is finished. It is finished. You are his righteousness on this earth. He wants to bring heaven down to this earth, to Las Vegas, in you, through you. That's what he wants to do. But he wants you to learn to hear his voice because there are great benefits of hearing his voice. You know, we hear a lot of, carnal things. We know a lot of carnal things, worldly things. We know the philosophies of the world. We know we know how to think through it, and we easily accept those things. How much more should we know the voice of God so that we will learn to His will and His values? His will, His value. And we can weigh them as we practice in His presence. We can weigh the difference. We can see the world's philosophies and reject it and listen to what God says. In these last days, it's so important, so essential that we spend time listening to Him. The first thing that we need is desire. Desire to know Him. Desire for Him to speak to me. It must mean more to us than anything else in this life right now. Desire. Second thing is, He's always speaking. In John 10, it says that my sheep hear my voice. He's always speaking to us. He wants you to hear His voice. So we can stop saying, oh, you know, I had this problem, and I've been asking God to answer me, and He's not answering me. He's not going to. Can you guys all pray? Maybe I can muster up a lot of people pray that I may hear God's voice because He's not speaking to me. Well, instead of saying those things now, instead of accusing God that He's not speaking to you, He died so that you can hear His voice. There's an open heaven for you to hear His voice. So instead of complaining and doubtful that He's exactly what the enemy wants you to be, that's very carnal, I believe what the Word of God says. It says in John that my sheep hear my voice. Sheep meaning us as His people. They hear my voice. So I just say, Father, I'm sorry. You're always speaking. I just need You to continue to work in me to help me to hear what You're saying. Show me what's blocking me from hearing You. Help me to trust You. I'm so sorry, Father. It's not Your fault. You're always speaking. The Bible tells us it's a small, still voice behind you. Why is it behind you? Why do you think that He speaks behind you? For a small, still voice, it has to be up on you so you can hear, right? It's not far away. Small, still voice is a really quiet voice. Now look, it's because He's letting you know, I got your back. I got your back. And I'm speaking to you. But you must quiet yourself to hear me. You must listen. You must put yourself in a position to hear Him. Now, I used to go up on my roof in Hong Kong. We lived on the 20th floor, something like that. And on my roof, it's quiet. And I would get up there, and I'm going to do my religious thing. And that's what it was, because I would go up there, my Bible, and I would just read, and pray, speak in tongues. I mean, I was so excited. And I just, you know, I just tear down the heavens, and I send angels over to the left, and I send angels over to the right, and I send angels behind me, and I'm just doing all the warfare, and I'm just having a wonderful time there, and then I finish. I close my book. That's wonderful, Jimmy. You did your religious thing. You're ready now. You're going to take the world. And as I was walking out, God said, Jimmy, son, could you just sit down for a moment and let me have 5 minutes, just 5 minutes. I need you to be still. In other words, would you shut up? I said, okay, Father, I'll shut up. I'll be quiet. You know, He told me the most wonderful things about me. He loves to tell me how much He loves me. I was going through a lot of stress, and I need to hear that I was loved. He told me about my direction. He told me what I was getting ready to face. I heard so much in those 5 minutes. It revolutionized my life. I said, so this is what it's all about, being quiet before Him. David was 14 years old, used to gaze out in the mountains at the stars, and that's where he was cultivated in the things of God. 14 years old. He was about that age when he killed Goliath. Because why? He heard the word of the Lord. Just take up some stones and throw them and he's going to die. He believed that. So I just want to encourage you, young people, God wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you every day. He doesn't want us just to come to him when we're in trouble. God, I got to hear you. I got to hear your voice. I got to hear you right now. I got to hear you. And he's not speaking. And you're going, whoa, God, maybe I'll fast for about 40 days and maybe he may speak to me then. No, he doesn't want you to do that because then he'll empower you to continue that way. He wants you to settle down in his presence every day. He is speaking. Now imagine some of you business people here. You hear God talking to you about the economy. Your work, he tells you to hold back on investment in this area. Hold back in that area, but give to this area. Because he knows what's going to be blessed. You will be blessed. You will be able to counsel other people, the body of Christ. You will be able to counsel them to be blessed as well. Because you've heard the word of the Lord. That's not for just prophets. That's for every, my sheep hear my voice. That's for every one of us. Can you imagine, as business people, if you allow God to run your business because you hear his voice every day? Do you think he's interested in your business? Yes, he is. He's interested in everything in your life, everything pertaining to life he has an answer for. How about your marriage? I asked the Lord when I'm journaling sometime, I said, God, what do you think about my wife? And he'll begin to tell me some profound, I'm writing these things down, I'm going, wow, yes, I agree, she's this way, she's that way. I just love that. And when she comes home, I'm just all bubbly and all mushy, and because God told me how he feels about her. I love it. He is interested in every area. Anyways, I just want to leave that with you. I have a lot to say in this, but I love this subject very much because God, he just loves to connect with us. We have to learn to connect with him in the spirit. He speaks to us spirit to spirit, not mind to mind. When he speaks to your spirit, he will give you an impression. He'll give you what he needs to, knowledge that you'll bring up to your mind so you can understand what he's saying to you. In closing, like for instance, how many of you ever, you made a decision, you were struggling about this decision, and you kind of felt like you shouldn't do it, but you did it anyways, and afterwards you go, oh, I knew I shouldn't have done that. I felt it where? I felt it inside. How many of you have done that before? I've done it. Oh, okay, yes, everyone. That's usually God. He's trying to get your attention. He's not going to tell you in bold letters, but impression. You become one with each other. He uses your voice. As you learn, position yourself, spending time with him, you get more sensitive to his voice. Just hang in there. I get music, soft instrumental music, and I soak in his presence to cultivate my spirit. And I learn to hear his voice that way. That's what he has for you. I can't encourage you enough that every one of you, he desires to connect with you and to share with you the Son. He would tell you more and more how much he loves you. And probably most of them have never had anyone tell us every day that they love us. My father, bless his soul, bless him. He didn't tell me he loved me until I was like 50 years old. And I loved it when he said, I love you, Jimmy. I love you. Keep doing your work in Hong Kong. I said, what, Dad? I can't hear. There's something wrong with the phone. What did you say? I love you, son. Keep working in Hong Kong. I love you. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I know that there's someone or someones that you're speaking to today. And there are people here that are desperate to hear your voice. There are decisions that need to be made, directions that need to be had. And only you can give that direction. I pray for grace to be released that you've already provided because you said it was finished. Would you, Lord, strengthen their might to embrace all that you've done on the cross in the resurrection? That they would understand they're your children. It's those that walk in the Spirit that are your children. They are the glorious ones. And I just pray that you would create a hunger in their spirit, in their hearts, a hunger to know you. This is not a condemnation message. This is a grace message to draw your children to your voice, to your heart. You said there are many mansions. One of those mansions is your heart. And we want to live in your heart, my Lord. We thank you, Father, for that. And so I pray now that the Spirit of God will meet you in every way, that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened to the glorious power that's within you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness, and thank you for your love. Thank you for Trinity. Would you be with them in their families? Would you be with them in their jobs? Would you encourage them in these last days, Lord, to focus on you? Because as we focus on you, Jesus, true peace we will receive. It's a peace that won't go away. Teach us, Lord, that we can concentrate on you as we work, as we go about our daily chores and business. You're always there, and you want to be involved in everything. You want to develop our personal relationship with you. So I commit them to you right now. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're already working in people's lives.